I got a little show and tell going on this morning as we get started. If we go to the first slide, I've got some before and after pictures, and hopefully you'll be able to see them from where you're seated. So that is a picture. I took it on May 14th this spring of my front yard. And those trees are absolutely amazing. They're like that for just a few days, maybe a week, and then all of those pink blossoms start to fall off all over the yard, and it turns to kind of a dull shade of green. And then the next picture, this is kind of a close-up. I hope you can see it. It was taken this week, September 1st. So the first picture was from May. So June, July, August, and we're in September, so 3.5 months later. And you can see there that this is just a close-up of one of the branches of the tree. It's absolutely packed with these little cherries. So 3.5 months later, the fruit of the flowers is now there. I know we have some magnificent gardeners here in this church, and I had a question for you. If you are a gardener, do you ever stand out along the side of your garden looking at it, waiting to see it grow? You don't? Why not? It's too slow. It takes too long. But over a period of days, over a period of weeks, over a period of months, you do see it change, but you don't see it change by watching it for a few hours. We're in a series entitled Becoming Awesome from the Inside Out. And the passage that we are looking at is largely about what Paul calls the fruit of the Spirit. And just the fact that Paul uses the word fruit here is deliberate. Because what God is doing in our lives is like growing a garden, not manufacturing things in a factory. In a factory, it's all about assembly lines and efficiency and cost effectiveness and output and profit. In a garden, it's about preparing the soil, planting a seed, watering, fertilizing, waiting, and eventually the fruit comes, and then comes the harvest. Becoming awesome from the inside out is like growing a garden, not making widgets in a factory. And as we get to the verses that describe the fruit of the Spirit, we're going to slow it down there too. So this week we're going to talk about the fruit of a Spirit as a whole, and then when I get back, we're going to talk about the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, one or two at a time. Because what I want you to see is how God grows us. What is He doing in our lives? What are we becoming, and how does this work? So this week, we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit in general. And what I want you to see is that when Paul uses the term the fruit of the Spirit, it is slow growing change. It's also deep character change. And it's also divine change within us. So it's slow growing, deep character, divine change within us. We've said that for a tree or a plant to produce fruit, it takes an entire growing season for that to happen. So the process is slow, and you don't see rapid change taking place every day. It's gradual, it's a process, it's organic. If you think even about the ministry of Jesus, He chose 12 disciples, And he trained them for a period of over 3 or 4 years. They didn't just go to classes. They didn't go away to seminary even. They lived with him. They heard him teach. They asked him questions. They did ministry with him. He let them try ministry. He coached them in it. And then he also corrected them when they made mistakes. And 3 or 4 years later, on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit was poured out upon the believers in prayer, then and only then were they ready to become leaders in the early church. And he told them to go out and do exactly what he did, which is make disciples who will make disciples. Christian growth, though you will learn in your mind, is not just an intellectual concept. It is a fruit that comes out of life. You, the Spirit, and others, and life together over time. And this should be an encouragement to us. We're completely forgiven by Christ when we first repented, when we first trusted in him. Our sins are wiped away, our consciences have been cleansed by his blood, and now we start to grow. And it takes years. Matter of fact, in our case, it takes a lifetime. And this can be one of the greatest challenges about being a pastor, because sometimes things in the church don't happen fast enough for me. And so we teach and we teach and we counsel and we learn and we visit and we talk. And sometimes we're dealing with the same things all over again that we were dealing with last year. But there really is no fast track when it comes to Christian growth. Gradual change from the inside out is how God works through our relationships, through our situations, and through our struggles over time. And you can even understand growth. You can have the concepts of how it works, and you can even be able to teach it or articulate it. But it isn't the same thing as living it. And not every person starts at the same point or grows at the same rate. We had the kickoff meeting for the guys' growth group at my house. We had 10 guys there, and we were sitting around the campfire, and myself and Jim and Matt each shared our story of coming to faith. And the stories were different. Matt and Jim came to faith as young people because of the influence of their families growing up here in this church. I did not come to faith because of the Christian influence of my family. I came to faith because of the influence of a Christian friend in public school. We started in different places. And if you've been here for 30 years, and somebody comes here and they come to faith for the very first time, you two are in totally different places. And we have to adapt to the reality that people are in different places. One of my favorite plants at home is a flower called an amaryllis. And if you know what it is, I mean, I cut all the leaves off and I cut the roots off in the fall, throw it in a box and put it in the corner of my basement. Then I take it out, put it in a pot again, add water, and it grows so fast you can almost watch it grow. And then during the Olympics, I was watching a special about the bonsai tree. And a bonsai tree grows for 100 years and it may be this tall. We grow at different rates. Some people are like the amaryllis, they just pop right up, add a little water. Some people are like a bonsai tree, they take 100 years. And sometimes there are growth spurts. I've heard parents talking about taking their kids out for sneakers as they go back to school, and lo and behold, their kids' feet have grown a size and a half. There are growth spurts. Often there are periods when we don't seem to be growing much. But then we hit trials, or we hit hardships, or we hit difficulties and heartaches, and we turn to God with such zeal that we wonder why it was never like this before. And there are times of desert, and there are times of rain. And since we are growing at different rates at different times, we need to be careful that we don't apply our standards of Christian growth to other people who are in a different place than we are. We need to encourage each and every one where God has them, because Christian growth is slow, progressive change, like fruit. Secondly, I want you to see that it is deep character change, deep character change. He says the fruit of the Spirit is, and then he gives a list of 9 different things: love, joy, peace, patience, and so on. And when you read it, you begin to think, oh, maybe it's like a cluster of grapes, or like all those cherries on my tree, right? But the interesting thing is the word fruit there is singular. It's one fruit. It's not, in English, you can say fruit, I went and got some fruit and you had a whole bunch. But you can also say, I have a piece of fruit. In this case, it's a piece of fruit. And he says the fruit of the Spirit is, not the fruit of the Spirit are. Now, why is that significant? The list is a list of characteristics of a single fruit, and they all hang together. This means you don't have one without the other. Okay? So here's the list: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Our love is joyful. Our joy is self-controlled. Our peace is patient, and our kindness is loving, and our faithfulness is gentle. They all hang together when God is working on us. Now, there are people who are very, very, very gentle. They're really gentle. They're so gentle that they never say a cross word or disagree with anyone. But sometimes those folks can be very dispassionate. They don't seem to have very strong feelings. Maybe they're even withdrawn. They may be gentle, but they're not loving, because you can't really get to know them. Their gentleness may or may not be the fruit of the Spirit, because you can really be very, very nice, but not be very loving. Some people can be really joyful, and they are bubbly, and they're happy, and they're always fun to be around, but they have absolutely no self-control. They don't realize whether or not their behavior is appropriate. They can't be relied upon. They're kind of flaky as friends. And their joy may be just an aspect of their character, but not the fruit of the Spirit. Some people can be very, very patient. They never get upset. Nothing ever seems to bother them. But they're not actually patient. They're just passive. They never stand up for themselves. They never stand up for anybody else. They never stand up to anyone. They don't love with the truth. And while they may seem to be very, very patient, they're not very loving. Some people are very, very self-controlled. They are moderate at everything. They work hard. They earn money. They are dependable. You can set your watch to them, and they do everything in moderation. They're very, very dependable, but they're not very kind. And they don't understand why everybody else is not as self-controlled as them. And maybe their self-control is a personality trait and not a part of the Holy Spirit working within them. The fruit of the Spirit is not about what personality traits we have that are stronger and which ones we are weaker at. The fruit of the Spirit is deep, personal character change that includes the whole package. The fruit of the Spirit is not a set of like balances in which we say, well, I'm good at this and not so good at this and good at this and not so good at that. It is the Spirit's character change that takes place within us as a result of his ongoing relationship with him. Our love is kind. Our self-control is joyful. Our peace is humble. Our faithfulness is good. We don't pick and choose which fruit we want God to work in us. He's working them all. And he's not playing to our personality strengths. He's making us completely new in different ways. And this is why we tend to grow more in our weaknesses and in our struggles. Because our weaknesses and our struggles expose the areas where we need to change and need to grow. And as we invite the Holy Spirit into those areas of our lives, we open ourselves to his influence, his power, rather than resting in what we perceive to be our strengths so that we continue to be content not to grow. The fruit of the Spirit is deep character change. It's also divine change within us. It is the Spirit's fruit, not simply our own human desires or our own human efforts to change. It is from the Holy Spirit, and it's a supernatural thing from the inside out. The nine characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit are the life and the character of Jesus Christ himself. Jesus was all of these things, and when Jesus gives us his Spirit, we become connected with the person who can work these things in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit is about becoming like Jesus from the inside out. I read an essay this week written by Benjamin Franklin, one of the fathers of our country, in 1790. And it was his plan for obtaining moral perfection. And in his plan for moral perfection, it was like 3 or 4 pages. First, he lists out the 13 moral qualities that he wanted to build into his life. And a lot of them were, some of them were like the fruit of the Spirit, and some of them were some other things as well. And so he had 13 qualities that he wanted to perfect in his life. And then he would take a piece of paper, and down the left-hand side, there would be the 13 qualities. And in the right side, he made a graph with 7 boxes in it. One box for every day of the week. And he would take 5 of the moral qualities, and he would remind himself of them every single day, and then for a whole week he would give himself a grade on how he was doing on his plan for moral perfection. The fruit of the Spirit is not a Christian version of our plan for moral perfection. It is a lifelong process of walking together with the Spirit in which he is molding us and making us and transforming us to be like himself, and it is just as unique and beautiful as each and every one of you are. It's him growing the character of Jesus in us. And it is him growing the fruit and the character of Jesus in us in our relationships, in our situations in life. It's something which we have to allow him to do as we relate to one another, as we experience the challenges of life. It's what God is doing in us, not what we do to ourselves. This means that for each and every one of us, there need to be routines within our daily life, our weekly life, our monthly life, and our yearly life that includes listening to and speaking with God. You won't become close friends if you're not listening and you're not talking. This is going to include sharing with God your feelings. It's going to include sharing your desires, sharing your disappointments, sharing your pain, sharing your struggles with God and expressing those things to Him. And it's also going to be listening to Him and hearing from Him. And the primary way that we do that is having a particular time in which we open the Scriptures and allow Him to speak to us, in particular words of promise and of love and of encouragement, so that we come to recognize who He is and how He works in the world. It may include apps, it may include books, it may include close Christian friends that God uses as well. But if we're not listening to and talking with God, how can we receive His help and become like Him? In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, these are the verses upon which we based our vision statement, loved by Jesus, loving others. He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." And then he wraps it up this way by saying, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. The disciples were trained by Jesus to be like Him in the way that they loved one another. And when we disciple well, we will be like Him. First Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. Peter's talking about the suffering that the believers are going through, and he says this: "Even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake," if you should suffer for doing what's right, "you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile you, your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame." Peter says that when we suffer well, even if we suffer for doing what is right, that it will have an impact on the audience that is watching. And the impact will be, where did that come from? How do you do that? What is your hope? I've never seen anything like that. Because it comes from God in us through the Holy Spirit bearing fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is slow, gradual change. It is deep character change, and it is divine change from within. just before I wrap up, I want to remind you about the Let's Connect card. They're found on the seats in front of you, or if you're watching online, they're found in the upper right-hand corner on our website. And I would love if you would fill those out and use them to communicate with me. If you're here for the very first time, I want to extend a very special welcome to you. I'm so grateful that you're here. If you're here for the second time, I'm glad that you're back. If you're an all-the-time person, I pray that the work of God's Spirit would be at work in you, whether you need a class, if you want to respond to this morning's message, or if there's something you want us to pray for. And then you just put those in the offering plate as you're leaving the room today on the way out. We've been saying that the fruit of God's Spirit is slow-growing change. If you have the Holy Spirit living in you, when you take the communion, you know that there's more. You know that those things stand for an eternal reality that you believe the body of Christ broken for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. The Holy Spirit helps us to recognize that the communion stands for so much more than bread and juice. And every time we take communion, the Holy Spirit says, "Your Father sent His Son to take away your sins. Now you are my child. I love you." And we respond, "Daddy, Father, thank you for what Jesus did to me." And if you have the Holy Spirit living in you today, please feel free to participate in the gift of communion. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, We don't just want to be better people. We don't just want to be different. We don't just want our problems to go away. We don't just want physical healing. We don't just want to be happier. We don't just want to have an easier life. We want you. We want you. We want to see your kingdom come. We want to do your will. We want your name to be seen as holy as we suffer well. And we ask that you would bind us together by your spirit of love as we celebrate in communion together. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.